lot of our teachers were sending students out of the classroom and they were ending up in my office, and I was having lines of students out my office every single day, and I was beating my head against the wall because it was like, what we're doing right now is not being successful.
Connection, engagement, rigor, success. Here on Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast, we are building a legacy of success together, one episode at a time, each Tuesday at noon. As your host, Anne Labangana Clay of ANC Unlimited, we will unpack relevant topics in education together. And when I'm not podcasting, coaching, or consulting, stop by our website, acunlimited.org, for our new blog, Coaching You EDU, and a menu of services. If something resonates with you during this episode, message me on the podcast app of your choice or leave a comment on LinkedIn, our company Facebook page, or on Twitter. Our guests appreciate your feedback. Check out the story notes for our social media details, and certainly, if you have an episode suggestion, send it to coachingallthingsedu@gmail.com. Now let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 33 of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. This is our second episode in our new series called PD in Your Pocket, where we unpack key do's or don'ts from the hashtag 100 Stop series in 30 minutes. We are so tickled pink to have the honor of having as our guest today, Joshua Stamper. Joshua is an admin in Frisco, Texas, an author of a new book arriving this September entitled Aspire to Lead. He's also a contributor of Chapter 49 in our hashtag 100 Stop Series book entitled 100 No-Nonsense Things That All Teachers Should Stop Doing. And he's a fellow podcast host of Aspire, the Leadership Development Podcast. And one more, just in case he didn't have enough going on, he's also a member of the Teach Better team. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you so much, Anne. Wow. When you say it like that, I guess I am kind of a busy guy.
But in a good way, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about one of those great accomplishments coming up. Let's start with congratulations on your new book coming out this fall. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
Oh, indeed. Can you tell us a little bit more about you, your work, and the new book entitled Aspire to Lead?
Yeah, of course. So I am a middle school assistant principal in, like you said, Frisco, Texas. And so I've been a AP now for 8 years. I started as a art teacher and a coach and got tapped on the shoulder to say, hey, I think you have some leadership qualities. Have you ever thought about administration? I had only been a teacher for 3 years, and so I laughed at the question because I didn't actually think they were serious, but the assistant principal was, and based on that conversation, it really took me on a totally different pathway. And so got into the administrative pool and became a dean of students, where I learned firsthand in a Title I school, which was very different as far as demographics, and kind of led to just a whole eye-opening experience as far as admin and the difficulties within that community. But then also at the same time, my wife and I started the foster care process. So we have now three adopted boys through foster care. We've had multiple placements. And that kind of led me to restorative practices and trauma-informed care. And that's really kind of what my chapter is about. And I know we're going to talk further about that chapter, but then based on my experience in admin, I had an opportunity to do a leadership development program within my district. And it went so well that the district actually took it over as far as the admin building. We were kind of like a pilot program. And I was just longing to do something more, which is where the Aspire podcast came from, was I wanted to give some knowledge and information to those who were seeking to grow in leadership. And so that's where that concept came from. I've been doing that for 3 years, which then led into the book, which I've had the honor and privilege to work with Sarah Thomas and EduMatch. And we're getting this book out in September, it looks like, as of now. And it's called Aspire to Lead. And so it's really a manifesto of my journey and just kind of the hardships and the trials that I went through. And hopefully it's just a nice guide for folks to, you know, build off of from really anywhere in your leadership journey to get to the next level.
That's amazing. Like, I knew a little bit, you know, but now that you've like shared all of that, that's an incredible journey, you know, that you've had. You know, you should be honored and humbled, I'm sure, but, you know, honored that the district, you know, took over that space and wanted to, you know, you piloted something and they were like, hey, this is, you know, something worth duplicating or, you know, yes, making bigger. And yes, that is awesome. And of course, your book, we can't wait until it comes out. How will we be able to get it?
Yeah, so it'll be on Amazon. It'll be, you know, at Barnes & Noble, any of those spaces. And then, of course, you know, online, EduMatch will have it on their website also. So anyway, you can find a book, that's where it's at. But most likely, Amazon is going to be the place where most people pick it up.
All right, perfect. Well, we will get the EduMatch website onto our story notes so that when it comes out, people can click back and enjoy. All right, wonderful. Well, our next question, let's see, can we unpack a little bit of your chapter?
Yes.
100 no-nonsense things that all teachers should stop doing. You wrote chapter 49, stop suspending students for minor infractions. I already know the answer to my question, but no, I know my answer to this question, but we'd love for you to share with us a brief summary about your chapter and what drove you to select this topic to write about.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anne. So the chapter really, I set it up with a story of when I was a dean of students in that school that I referred to in the Title I school. And the demographics was changing drastically. It was an area that was really extremely affluent and within 5 years had changed over due to Hurricane Katrina and some of the folks that came from New Orleans to Texas. And so amazing families that came, but they were struggling, you know, financially and with anything with a tragedy like that. And of course, there was a lot of trauma within these families and our students. And so just learning how to help those folks as an administrator, but it was another for a teacher. And so a lot of our teachers were sending students out of the classroom and they were ending up in my office. And I was having lines of students out my office every single day. And I was beating my head against the wall because it was like, what we're doing right now is not being successful. We were putting kids in detention, suspending them, in school suspension, sending them back into homes that where the parents were working multiple jobs. Sending back in the community doing God knows what, and then saying, you know, that's solving the issue, that's solving the problem. And so looking at the data also and tallying up the amount of time that students were outside of the classroom not learning anything, and then seeing the test scores at the end of the year, it was just an equation for failure all around. And so I just shared a story within that chapter of an interaction between myself and a teacher and how it went sideways. And then of course, given some action steps of what are some things that we could have done differently in that situation. So the premise is, you know, some young boys were accused of something they didn't do and resulted in them getting kicked out of class, and kind of what some, what are some strategies that we could have done in that situation that could have helped the relationship between the teacher and the students, kept those students in class, and been able to learn through that experience as far as how to work through the adversity?
Sure, absolutely. Oh, you know what? It pains me because unfortunately that story is not just, you know, limited to your school.
Yep.
That particular teacher, you know, unfortunately, that's a national problem that we have had for years.
Yep.
And I love the fact that, you know, you're addressing it. And I think that's what the book does, right? And your chapter,
Most definitely.
where it brings it back home so that the teacher, the administrator, you know, because that's a systemic thing, right? It's not
Yes.
that teacher. I mean, you know, it's a system-wide practice that needs to be reevaluated or needed to be reevaluated. And like you said, you were banging your head against the wall. And picture the child or the children or the students that were impacted by that, what they were doing, beating their heads, I'm sure.
Oh,
You know,
most
I didn't do this, but, you know, I'm suffering all these consequences. And so, you know, you talk about restorative practices and I mean, and things that are more aligned with what happened or not even in this case, it was a situation that nothing happened. They weren't involved, but the teacher's reaction, having her reflect and maybe not react. Am I correct, Joshua?
Most definitely.
You know, not react on your first impulse, but to rather, you know, really evaluate the situation. So, wow. If your chapter could be turned into a book, so let me know.
maybe that'll be my second book.
Right, there you go. Definitely. Oh, that was great. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. All right, let's see. Can you give our listening audience three takeaways for their educational world or in their life?
Yeah, so let's connect that to the chapter, right? So let's talk about de-escalation strategies. I think everybody needs to make sure that within their toolbox of skills, they need to have some communication and de-escalation skills, especially after a pandemic with our students obviously going through adverse situations. Who knows what has occurred in the last year. It's going to be a huge transition for them when they come back. Even a student that typically does not show adverse behaviors, you know, that's going to happen. You know, there's going to be some negative behaviors that occur in the classroom that you're not going to expect. And so how are we going to handle that? Are we equipped to make sure that we're de-escalating the situation prior to trying to, you know, correct and teach the correct behavior? And so I think that's often where things get out of hand and escalate, is that we don't give the proper time. We don't use those skills to de-escalate a student prior to trying to push forward and get back to the curriculum or, you know, get back to the classroom and really allowing ourselves to take the time, even if it's just 5 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you know, an escalated brain that's, you know, had trauma and has shut down. It could take 45 minutes to 60 minutes for the student to actually be able to have a conversation with an adult. And, you know, that's not even talking about learning new information. So we need to be cognizant of that. We need to understand that. And then, of course, make sure that we're putting that student in a situation where they feel safe and they feel loved. And then we can get back to the curriculum. So that would be my first thing. We talked about restorative practices, right? So finding some alternatives where we're teaching the behavior instead of punishing, right? I think too often we're looking about how can we punish the student based on the behavior, and instead, how are we going to restore what the student had broken? And that could be a relationship, that could be something physical, right? So what are we doing that's a little bit creative to make sure that we're teaching the correct behavior? And then with one of those strategies, as far as, you know, how I talked about students being taken out of the classroom, what we do on our campus is a push-in where we have a counselor, we have an administrator, we have a lead teacher go into the classroom, relieve the teacher that needs to speak with a student. They go out for maybe 5 minutes, they take a walk, get each other back as far as, you know, open communication. That way the relationship is not broken between the teacher and the student. And then the student can then go back with the teacher into the learning environment, and they're not losing that instruction. And it only takes a couple of minutes, but we have found huge success with that, because too often a teacher will send a student out and that fracture has occurred between the student and the teacher. And then the student comes back and that has never been resolved. So that we just found that as just one technique that we like to use, which is called a push-in.
It's called a push-in. Okay. Well, that's interesting that you say that, because in our school, we are trying to develop a protocol for just that, you know, mm-hmm. because we've seen not just in the situation where, you know, there's that fracture or potential fracture between student and teacher, but also in addition to that, there's sometimes the student has experienced something like traumatic, right? Mm-hmm. And the teacher is reacting and or is, you know, can't need some time to process yep. that. Does that make sense?
Most definitely.
And so, you know, we're working on that same protocol, which is means we're on the right track, right, John?
Yes, you are. Yeah. Definitely.
So I'll have to reach out to you and see if there
please
you could help us help define that more clearly mm-hmm. or a plan. Those are great tips for all of us listening today. You know, we can use all of that because like you said, going back in the fall, you know, or some August, right, depending yeah. on who you are in the country, students and teachers are going to be bringing something to the table that we may not have anticipated, you know, mm-hmm. we need to be prepared and think human first, right?
Definitely.
You know, before we can move forward with anything else. Thank you for all of those great takeaways.
You're very welcome.
All right. This question is trending on the show. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
The best way to get knowledge to the brain is through the heart.
Oh my gosh.
that kind of ties in with everything we've talked about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Cause my little, I use emojis. I love emojis, right?
Yeah.
And so when you said that, immediately my two emojis popped up and I do like a heart, a plus sign, and then the brain, right? Because
totally.
Together you can't separate them, right? We're talking about the whole child, the whole person.
Yes. You know?
And so that's a beautiful quote that, I'm excited. I'm going to use that one.
Please.
If I may.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Oh, well, Joshua, I tell you, this was a quick one, but I'm so glad you unpacked so much in such a short time for us. And we're so excited to have had you on the show today.
Thank you, Anne. It's been an honor to talk with you today.
Oh, well, thank you. Until next time. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that concludes another episode of Coaching You Through All Things Education. As Confucius states, those people who develop the ability to continuously acquire new and better forms of knowledge that they can apply to their work and into their lives will be the movers and shakers in our society for the indefinite future. Again, you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter, or you can also find us on our Facebook page, ANC Unlimited. As a reminder, for a free consultation in any area of education that you choose, for educators, administrators, or parents, please visit acunlimited.org. Until next time, stay stress-free and be well.